Well, good morning and welcome to Metropolitan Baptist Church. If you could please stand, let's grab your hymnal, turn to hymn number 223. Let's stand, turn to hymn number 223. It starts out on the first, I am thine, O Lord. Let's sing out on the first.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice and it's all thy love. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast gone. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious.
On the second,
consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul love God with the steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where
on the last, there are depths of love.
There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross a narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where
morning. Trust all is well with you. We're grateful to have everyone present with us today. We've got several folks traveling already. The sun comes out and we want to travel. So you pray for those that are traveling today. But it's good to be here. Good to have some visitors in our midst today. We welcome you. In the name of Christ, we are always thrilled to have visitors in our midst. And we trust that God will bless in everything said and done in the services today. But what we want to do right now is just walk around, shake some hands, welcome each other. And church family, you make sure our visitors feel welcome as we do that. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, if you head back to your seats, please remain standing. Grab your hymnal yet again and turn to hymn number 484. Hymn number 484. If by chance you don't know this song, it's an easy one and we'll learn it quick. Let's sing it on the first.
Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under His wing. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King.
Only two verses, so let's sing out on that last.
Now I'm a child with a heavenly home. My holy Father has made me His own, and I'm cleansed by His blood, and I'm clothed in His blood, and someday I'll see the angels of love. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can see. Praise God, praise God, the King.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. stand one last time. Turn to hymn number 281. It's in 281, Jesus Saves. All right, I'm singing out on the first.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command.
Let's change it up. Let's go to the third. Sing it out on the third.
Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By His death an endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy clears, sing in triumph. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Take a nice deep breath for this last one. This is the shouting song. Let's sing it on the last. Give the winds a mighty voice.
Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. Thanks for singing. You may be seated.
Gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll receive this morning's offering. We'll go over a few announcements right quick. Today, after the morning service, I want everybody here to stay and come eat lunch with us. We have bought every piece of chicken in Lake Worth, and maybe even the north side, as they're having to scramble for. We have plenty of food. I want everybody to stay, enjoy the fellowship, and then just stay afterwards with it for the afternoon service. The afternoon service, we are going to be observing the Lord's Supper. So please be prepared for that also. Mondays, we're having the ladies are having a Cracker Barrel, little monthly thing that they have at the Cracker Barrel thing. And it's not just for the ladies only. The guys sit at their other table, and anyway, let the guys stay on one side and the girls stay on the other. This week is finally here. Our yard sale, the youth yard sale, is going to be Saturday. And yes, bring your stuff now. We've got an empty gym. We can finally put it in there. And if you need us to come get it, let me know. And if I don't know, I can't do anything about that. So please, if you need some help coming to get it, let me know. We'll come get it. We have two important showers here. One of them's a baby shower. One of them's a wedding shower. Miss Tina, I still don't know how they shower those babies before they get here. Anyway, she's registered at Walmart and Target. And, of course, the ever-important wedding shower for the Martins are registered at JCPenney's and Target and Bed Bath & Beyond. The wedding is on the 25th for David and Kelsey. Is that right? Did I say that right? Anyway, they're asking, please, RSVP this week for that. Okay, they'd like to get a head count on that. So I think that's all we're going to talk about right now. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the offering we're about to receive, Lord. Please be the gift and the giver. Lord, right now, most important, please be the preacher. Give him the words that you want him to say. Hide him behind the cross. Lord, please prepare our hearts. Ask these things in your name. Amen. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul.
Turning to Psalm 71 this morning. Psalm 71. Continuing our series on God's power for God's people. Did you find your place there in Psalm 71? Respect, reverence to the good word of God. I'd ask you to stand with me. We'll read three verses. Psalm 71, beginning in verse 17. David writing, and he says, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forget me not or forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto Thee? Father, we bow before You once again, and will we simply and as humbly as we possibly can ask You that You might be pleased to enter in and work in our hearts today. Father, we need You. There's no question about it. We need a fresh breath from glory in these days. We need, Lord, a refreshing. We need a reviving, a renewing in Your work, in Your churches, even today. And Father, I'd ask You in Jesus' name, Lord, I'd ask You that You might be pleased to work in every heart, regardless of the need. Well, we realize that there may be some that have come into our midst today that are yet without Christ, without that hope of eternity, without the understanding of eternal life. Lord, please, please, might they see Jesus here today. We'd ask You, Father, for every believer, every member of Metropolitan Baptist Church, might our hearts be focused upon You. Might Your Word work in our hearts today to deal with us in exactly the way that each of us need. I pray, Father, You might be pleased to encourage those that are struggling. Pray that You'd challenge those that may be straying from You. We'd ask You, Lord, that in it all, when it's said and done and we say amen, we'd be able to declare that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen, of course, may be seated. We said we are continuing with this series on God's power for God's people. And I wanted to say that this is a special message for me this morning. As we do continue that series, but today's message is personal. It's personal because it deals in a great way with my ministry to you, my ministry to our church. And this may appear convenient for me to say this, but I'm coming to the realization more and more that, are you ready? Age is a relative thing. Age is a relative thing. You've heard it say that old age is a matter of perspective. I'm still trying to figure out just what that means. You've heard many declare that you're only as old as you feel. Yeah, Honestly, there's some days I feel very old. And there's other days I don't feel so old at all. Frankly, believe it or not, I'm not quite ready to give in to this old age thing. A dose of reality hit me a while back. It was several months ago. I was looking at our church website, and some of you have heard me talk about this. Looking at our church website, and it's a picture from back there in the back of the auditorium, and saw a picture of a man up front behind the pulpit with white hair. And I'm thinking, who is that guy? And I enlarged the picture, and lo and behold, it was me. Ouch. That one hurt. You know, I used to love sitting around at preaching conferences as a young preacher. And sitting at the table with those older and more mature men. And I used to love just sitting there and listening to them talking about their experiences in the ministry. And frankly, I just wanted to learn whatever I could. I wanted to pick up on their experience. And I just loved to hear those different stories. And now I realize I'm one of those older guys sitting at the table. And yeah, it's the way it is. We look at this passage today. Verse 17 again, it says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. David says, God, you've taught me since I was young. Hallelujah. God, you've taught me since I was young, and along the way, I've sought, it's been my desire to teach others, to tell others about your wondrous works. Oh my. He follows up that statement explaining in verse 18, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but he says, now I'm old and gray-haired. God, don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone until I've given evidence of your strength. He wanted those coming behind. He wanted his own sons. He wanted the children of Israel, the people that he ruled in God's stead, to understand some things about God. Understand some things about their great God. Till I've given evidence of your strength. He goes on and saying, until I've given evidence of your power. David had experienced the power of God in his life. Have we? And said, well, preacher, what do you mean? Have we experienced the power of God in our lives? You see, David had something to tell folks. He had something to share with folks about what he had experienced from God. God had been pleased to work in David and through David. He wanted others to know about it. He says, until I've given evidence of your power to all that were to come. What's he say, verse 18? Until this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. He says, I want those younger ones. I want that next generation to understand some things about your power. That's what we're talking about in these days. Since the first of the year, we've been talking about, hey, that there's a God and He has power for His people. His power is good for you and for me even today, beloved. You know, I love what I do. I love what I do. I want to keep doing it for a while. God be pleased to let me keep doing it. Well, then I'm just going to give Him praise and do everything I can to continue to tell folks about what a great God we have. Look what He's done! Huh? We ought to be able to point to what He's done. The Word of God indeed is the power of God for God's people. You know, back in my office, the cave that was we, as I call it, you know, I've got those monitors sitting there on my desk and that doflunky, whatever you call that, bureau or whatever it is. But right above my monitors, I've got two papers that I printed off. I got them stuck up there with them stick pin things. And the one is verse 18 of Psalm 71. I want to look at it every day there. The whiter this hair gets, I want to see it every single day. Again, what's it say? Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Lord, please don't leave me alone. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. I look at it every day that I sit at that desk and pray, oh God, please make it so. Please make it so. But right alongside of that verse, I've got another piece of paper stuck up on there having to do what I see my job as. What I see my ministry, what my work is. And that's what I'll talk about a little bit today. Again, passing on a vision for the strength of God. A vision that indeed that we can know the power of God in our lives. And as your pastor, I want to pass some things on to you. I want to pass some things on to you. There's some things In these days, I believe it's important for us to grasp and hold to. My mission as the pastor of Metropolitan Baptist Church is for these, and again, boiled down to four things this morning, not necessarily in order of importance, but I put them down on that sheet in the way that the Lord gave them to me. And the first one of those, beloved, is simply, I feel it's my task to exhort God's people to holiness. To exhort the holiness of Christ. To exhort to the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Luke, Zacharias, of course, the father of John the Baptist, receives this vision from God. And really it picks up, about in verse 68 or 69. Zacharias is telling all those that are there the day that John is born, talking about the ministry that God was going to give to to John. And in verse 74, he says this, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now understand, Zacharias was speaking of his son John, who had that ministry as the one that would prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. But beloved, as John would preach, as the Lord Jesus Christ would indeed follow him, both their messages are encapsulated in this idea. God desires that we would live for him, for his glory. We'll talk about that more as we go. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul wrote to that local church there in the city of Thessalonica. And he said, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. God hath not called us to continue in sin. Beloved, that's what he saved us from. He saved us out of our sin, our iniquity, an unclean life. Now, but I believe there's a lot of copping out going on in quote-unquote modern Christianity in our day. We're so filled up with this feel-good Christianity. Do you like, you know what? I like to feel good. You know, I like to feel good. But I want my heart to be ruled and controlled by the Spirit of God through the Word of God that I might please my God. Huh? A lot of copping out amongst Christians in our generation. And I know, you know, that you'll hear something like this. Oh, preacher, I know I'm not living as holy as I should. But after all, I've got the holiness of Christ. Well, praise God that we've been given the holiness of Christ. We've been made righteous in Him. That doesn't change that the Bible over and over and over again challenges us, Old Testament and New, to live holy. Huh? We want to make excuses for our sin and rationalize our sin when our God says, be ye holy. For I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's just what the Bible says, beloved. Oh my, yes. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, the Hebrew writer that challenges and exhorts us, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Now listen to this. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Huh? Without which no man will see the Lord. Our fallen natures. Our fallen natures want to convince us that a little sin's okay. A little sin's okay. Don't get so shook up. And we're real good at salving our own consciences. Well, you know, my sin surely isn't as bad as that other guy's sin. And here's the clincher. Oh my, I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard this or something real close to it. Here's the clincher. Preacher, there are other folks doing the same thing. What's that mean? How in the world does that justify me not doing right? What does God want from us? Hey, are you saved this morning? What does God want from you? He wants us to live holy lives for Him. He wants us to live holy lives for Him. A question. Maybe you're asking yourself that question right now. Well, what's that mean? What is holy? What's holiness, as we might speak of it? Well, even I think it was Wednesday night, our speaker Wednesday night touched on this subject, and some asked the question what the word holy means. Well, it means simply, very simply, to be set apart. First of all, we've got a holy God. We understand that. We have a holy God. He is set apart. There is, none other God like Him. He is totally separate from all others. All the gods, so-called gods of this world, He is set apart. He is holy. He is righteous. He is absolutely perfect in all and everything that He is. He's holy. He's different. And a believer, now listen to this. Stick with me. A believer is set apart to be different than others. And here's the rub in our day. We're hearing this preached all over the country, and as I travel all over the world, you can have Jesus and live any way you want. Oh yeah, Jesus loves you just the way you are. Oh, preacher, after all, the song says, just as I am. Well, hallelujah. God took me just the way I was. He took me as an unclean, sinful creature. And He washed me in the blood of the Lamb. He washed me in the blood of His own Son. And cleansed me from all that filth, all of that corruption. And He's placed me upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And from here on in, I'm to walk as holy as a saved sinner can. I'm to want Him. I want His glory. Want His honor. Want His praise. We've got this Christianity today that says, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about a little sin. You can go carousing. You can go do... You've got the righteousness of Christ. It's all about grace. I've been saved by grace, beloved. By grace, God's unmerited, undeserved favor. By grace, are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We've been saved by grace. Paul asked the question, because we've been saved by grace, should we continue in sin? What's the answer? God forbid. To continue in sin is to spit on the cross. Now listen to me. To continue in sin is to make light of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you and for me. Oh my. God's holy. You know, beloved, a saved person is no longer part of this old world. What? He's been set apart. God saved me and He set me apart. For what? For Himself. Taken out of that old wicked world. And set apart for Him. For His glory. For His honor. So in Christ,
to just continue in that old life, to tolerate that old life, to continue in that old life, is a contradiction of what salvation is all about. Saved us from all of that. If I can pass something on to this generation, if I can pass something on to these young people, is live holy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Live holy for Christ. But secondly, it'll be my heart's desire to exemplify a love for Christ. To be an example of love for Christ. Beloved, when folks look at us, they ought to see a people that love Jesus. A people that love Jesus. First time the Bible tells us to love our God is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, where it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Oh my. With all thy heart. With all thy soul, with all thy might. And then the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, and Luke echoes that statement. Love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, and strength. What's that leave out? It means our total being. Everything that we are. Love God with them. Love Him. No reservations. No holdout. Hey, you know, I preached a message a long time ago, and I've heard others preach about getting out of your comfort zone. Well, I'm going to love God, and I'm going to do, I'll live for God to this point. You know, you'd never say that. You wouldn't say that, but you live that. I'll love God, I'll serve God to here. Don't complicate things beyond there. I don't want to be one of them religious fanatics. You come too late to tell me that. I remember I hadn't been saved too long, a few months, 6-8 months. I've probably said this before, but being I'm the one preaching, I can say it again. Been saved about 6-8 months, and my daddy, he was real concerned about me. He hadn't got saved yet. He said, "Now, Jim, I'm kind of worried about you. A little religion's great. But this is just getting a little out of hand." I said, "Daddy, I can't help it." And of course, I wanted to see him saved. So I can't help it, Dad. I just love him. I said, "Dad, you remember. You remember what it was like before I got saved. You remember Jim, your son coming home in the middle of the night and you wondering where I'd been. You wonder about what I was doing and what I was carrying on with and all the rest. Daddy, that isn't going on anymore. It's not going on anymore, Dad. Jesus changed all that, and I'm not pulling my foot off the pedal not a bit. He saved me. And I'm not gonna let up, but to live for Him. Fall in love with Him." And I'm running these points together already. Exemplify a love for Christ. What evidences your love for God? I'll just talk about two. Because I think if we just get a hold of these two, we'll be okay. Evidences of our love for God. Our love for God. Number one, it'll be evidence that you love God if you obey this book. What did Jesus say? "If you love me, keep my commandments." The evidence that I love Him is that I obey His word. Doesn't take a theologian to figure that one out, does it? Just do what the Bible says. And it's a testimony to your kids. It's a testimony to those folks that live next door. It's a testimony to those folks down at work that you love God. Because your desire is to obey His word. His word. Secondly, obedience to the word of God. But then secondly, a love for God's people. love for God's people. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. John, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, if a man say, I love God, coming out of here, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Wow. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Has God done a work in your heart? That'd be a love for your brother. It amazes me whenever I stand in a pulpit. It doesn't matter the church. You stand here and look across the congregation. And said, what are you talking about? What would bring this group of people together? Huh? What would gather this group of people together in this place? What could be a unifying anything to bring you and I? Hey, there's people in this room today from different parts of the world. Different ethnic backgrounds. Different economic backgrounds. But the Bible tells us, or excuse me, let me say it this way. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what He's done in us, we're one. One people in Christ. We've got one unifying person. And His name is Jesus. Because Christ liveth in me, and because how He loves you and I, I can't say I love you and then, or excuse me, I can't say I love Him and then hate my brother. John says that's a lie. In fact, he says it even uglier. He says, you're a liar. Ouch. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper as a church this afternoon. Lord's Supper is a testimony to the unity of the body of Christ. The unity of Metropolitan Baptist Church as we share the cup and the bread. How are you supposed to come to that? Come prepared, right? Dealing with all those breaches that might exist. So that we come together and receive that cup, being mindful of what Jesus did for us, all those things are put away. We've made one person in Christ. 1 John 5:2 kind of puts it together for us. He said, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. It's all there, isn't it? By this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. Now, what's the Bible tell us? If you love God, you'll love God's people. If you love God's people, you love God. Might we exemplify a love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Then thirdly this morning, and we've already been dealing with this, but my desire, my longing as your pastor is to encourage you to live for Christ. To encourage you to live for Christ. In Psalm 19, verse 14, listen to this. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Did you hear that? What's David saying? Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Encouragement to live for Christ. Now listen to this. Listen to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 carefully. Many of you have it committed to memory. You've heard it preached, but listen to it carefully. I'm crucified with Christ. Means I died The old Jim Turner died with Jesus. I am crucified. Jim Turner crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I'm a new creature in Christ. This new life that I have is to be lived for Him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. How do I live this life? By faith. I live this life now by... I live for Christ by faith. Do you know what it means to live by faith? We've talked about it so many times. We preach about it. We talk about it. But I wonder how much we really grasp. It means to live a life of trust. It means to live a life of trust. What do you trust? What are you trusting day in, day out? What are you trusting? To live by faith means to live a life of trust. You know, there's times, beloved, I just don't know what to do for folk that seem to crumble at every turn of the road. Every circumstance comes into their life that it's like this mountain. And I'm thinking, do you not understand? Those things are going to happen in this life. If we go around this, there's not a person in this room hasn't experienced heartache. Trials, struggles, battles. Every one of us will face those struggles and battles and trials in life. But beloved, how are we walking this life? I don't know. My wife told me the other day we need to go to the eye doctor. It's time for new glasses. Well, I can still see through these things, sort of. Are we walking by eyesight? What we see? Is this how we're walking? Because if we're walking by how we can see, let's pack it in. It's crazy. Huh? I mentioned last Sunday night, standing there on the border between Israel and Syria and hearing the bombs going off over yonder. If the evening news tells us about wars and rumors of wars surrounding us, killing each other. In our own country, people are going crazy with their violence and all the rest. You want, hey, people ask me, aren't you afraid to go to Israel? No more than I am to go downtown Fort Worth. Huh? It's just the way it is. There's danger everywhere. Are we walking with these things, these eyes, or are we walking with eyes of faith? Regardless of the pitfalls, regardless of what we deal with, regardless of what comes my way, I'm alive in Jesus. No one can take that away from me. I've got eternal life. Yes, one day's going to come. I'm finally going to lay this old tabernacle aside. I'm going to glory. Should I be lamenting that? Oh my, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm looking forward to it, beloved. Maybe it has something to do with white hair, but every single one of us that knows Jesus, we can't lose. You're saved. You may lay aside the physical, but you live forever. You live forever. Hey, I got a little old mama on the other side. I can't wait to see her again. Huh? And so do you have loved ones on the other side you're looking forward to. I got a brother that got saved 3 weeks before he died. And oh, he got to go to glory. I can't wait to get over there and tell him some things and catch up with him and hear, well, my goodness, beloved, it's great. We got a wonderful hope. Well, we're so caught looking, trying to live through the eyes of the flesh that we can't see the great, great glory and goodness that is ours in Christ. We need to live for Christ. Live for Him. And I guess this leads right into the last point. If I can, I want to try to help you to get excited about Christ coming back. Huh? We ought to live excited about the return of Christ. The Bible gives warnings along the way about not living for Christ, that He could come at any moment. And surely that's good, that's right. But if I'm like, not these fine, distinguished young people here, but if I'm like a child that behaves simply because they think mom and dad might come through the door at any minute, that's not much of a motivation. It'll do. But it's not much of a real motivation. Huh? The Lord Jesus Christ, I need to read a verse here. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work." Oh my. Again, what's our motivation for right behavior? To do right. To do right out of desire to honor the parent, certainly a step in the right direction and an honorable motivation. But listen to me, beloved. A child that is excitedly waiting for their parents' return is a precious thing. It's a beautiful thing that a child would anticipate their parents' return. Listen to these verses from Luke chapter 12. Beginning to read in verse 37. It says this. Now listen. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find what? Watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if there shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Beloved, we should be excitedly looking forward to the Lord's return. I don't want to live in such a way that I'm going to regret it when the trump sounds. Are you with me? He says when He comes back, it's going to be a grand time. Listen to those words. He's going to seat us and serve us. Huh? That's something to get excited about. To be excited about. Our Lord's coming back. You know, the last chapter of the Bible is looking towards that, isn't it? The last words of the Scriptures. Well, in verse 12 of Revelation 22... again, we just read it a moment ago. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. He's returning to this earth planet from which He left. When He comes back, He says His reward is with Him. Are you excited about that? I hope so. I hope you're excited about that. Now, you should be. If these other things we've been looking at are true, you should be excited. A couple weeks ago, I guess it was actually March 11th,
I believe that's what it was, our Marcia and I's anniversary. And it was actually our first day while they're in Israel to be in the city of Jerusalem. And the first place we went was to the Mount of Olives. Our guide, Lior, had some things to tell us. And, of course, we's looking out over the view there from the Mount of Olives over to the old city of Jerusalem. We sat down there. We spent a little while there, half an hour or so, 45 minutes, just talking about things, taking some pictures, you know, the usual stuff. I was sitting there on the place they have fixed for you to sit. It was a little warm, actually. But I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, so long ago, You stood on this hillside and You gave Your disciples those last words, last instructions about being witnesses, living for Him. And then He returned to the right hand of His Father. And today, as we're here in this auditorium, Jesus is there at the right hand of His Father, just waiting. And when it's time, the trump will sound. And He's coming back. I don't know what the others were thinking. So I'm sitting there on that seat. Oh, Lord, maybe today. Maybe today. That wouldn't have been half bad. To be on the scene. Huh? Somebody's going to be. Beyond the scene. When the King of Glory returns, as those angels told His disciples, even so, as you've seen Him go, He'll return. Huh? Revelation 22:20 says this, He which testifies these things saith, Jesus, surely I come quickly. Would John say, Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Huh? Come. Come, Lord Jesus. See it as my ministry to my church family to exhort you to holiness of Christ. To exemplify a love for Christ. To encourage you to live for Christ. And to excite you for the return of Christ. Oh, what would it be like if we were such a people? What would it be like? Man, wouldn't it be glorious just to be together? Huh? Christ, alive in our midst. Beloved, it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about Him. It's about living for Him, loving Him, manifesting Him to this lost and dying world, and anticipating His return. David wrote, I don't know how old he was when he wrote those words in Psalm 71. He says, Now, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Until I've showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come. A preacher's heritage. Everybody's always, presidents and that are always worried about their heritage. A preacher's heritage lies
testified in those that come behind him. Those who follow behind him. Those that hopefully he's had impact in their lives some way. Jesus is worth living for. Amen. Jesus is worth everything that we can give him. To live for Jesus. To see others come to know Christ. We've had a few folks saved around here since the first of the year. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. As I told the men in the prayer room this morning, I'm praying, I'm pleading, God, that it's only the first fruits of a harvest to come. Harvest, folks. I don't know. I'm no predictor of times, but it can't be long until you and I are going to hear that trump sound. I want to take as many folks with us as we can. Take as many folks with us as we can. Let's stand together. If you're saved, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving. If you're not saved today, you don't know where you'll spend eternity. I plead with you in Jesus' name. I plead with you. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Receive this one who died for you. Died to forgive you of sin. Died to give you new life. Cleanse you. That you might spend eternity with Him. Please. If there's any question of your salvation today, please don't leave this place without Christ. Even at this very moment, just cry out to Jesus, save me. Save me, a sinner. I need you, Jesus. Change my life, and I'll live for you. Father, we thank you today for your goodness to us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for this dear people. Thank you for their diligence and their patience to listen to this preacher today. Lord, I'd ask you, Lord, that you'd confound the powers of darkness. Pray that no wicked thing would enter in at this time to steal away folks' focus and attention. Help us, Father. Focus on you. And I pray for anyone in these walls this day that may be here without Jesus. Father, please, in Jesus' name, speak to their hearts today. Help them to see that there is a Savior, one who loves them, lay down His life for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Colton.
Hymn 534.
As we sing, please just obey the Lord. Would you do what the Lord would have you to do? These altars are open for whatever the Lord might lay on your heart. Just obey Him.
Search me.
Amen. Realize those words of song come from also from the lips of the sweet psalmist of Israel. As he pleaded with God to search him. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. You know, it was a long time ago. I don't know how many years ago now. It's been 30 plus years ago. We met the man, J. Edwin Orr, that put those words to music. And such a sweet guy. Just a sweet, unassuming man. I thought, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be the people of God that You'd have us to be. I say it over and over again, beloved, forgive me. This world needs to see Christians. Needs to see Christians. Christ-like people. Might we be willing to be used in such a way. Amen. Amen. Well, trust the Lord has been dealing with our hearts, feeding us spiritually. The ladies have a feast prepared for us in the kitchen, or in the dining, or what do you call that place? The gym. And please don't go home. Curtis will talk about all the chickens in North Fort. I thought I saw some chickens running down over the hill a while back, trying to escape Albertsons. And so you come, you stay, and I'm sure it'll be a blessing. Fellowship of the saints is good. It's good. Brother Colton, would you come? And folks, we'll be going out this door. Just follow the hall to the other end. If you aren't familiar with Metropolitan Baptist Church, we just would love to have you share that time with us. Brother Colton, come. Would you ask the Lord's blessing on our fellowship and then lead us in a chorus?
God, I thank You for this day, Lord. I thank You for the message that was given us, Lord. I do ask and pray, Lord, that as the words settle into our hearts, I pray You help us with open minds and open hearts to receive them, God. And I pray You just allow us to begin inspecting our lives, Lord. And I pray we get together with others, Lord, and ask others to inspect our lives, Lord, that we could be truly living holy, Lord, living pure lives. I pray that those discrepancies, Lord, those bits of sin that we still hold on to of the old man, Lord, I pray that You would show those to us, Lord, and give us the strength and give us the faith, Lord, to let go of them and give them to You, Lord. I pray You just continue to make us more holy and holy, more and more like You every day, Lord. I pray You just guide us and direct us in that, Lord. I pray You be with the fellowship this afternoon, Lord. Please bless the food, Lord. I thank You so much for it. And I ask and pray You just allow us a great time of fellowship, Lord, a blessing for the church family to get together, God. And I pray that we just, during this time, would talk about You, Lord, and glorify You and praise You in everything, God. We thank You for Your love and all the many blessings You give us. And we ask Your just Your blessing upon this afternoon. In Your name, amen. Let's be dismissed with the chorus, He Touched Me.
He touched me, oh, He touched me, and all the joy now floods my soul. Something happened, and now, oh, He touched me, and made
I've never seen baptism.